Hi, my name is TJ Sons.
And my name is Michael Connell.
And this is What I Learned in History class this week. As we have gone through our Cold War unit, we have covered many different topics, from the Levittowns to the war in Vietnam.
But this week, we are focusing on America's forgotten war, the Korean War.
Along with going over the information we learned in class, we will be reviewing the 2022 movie Devotion, which follows the true story of the first African-American fighter pilot in the Navy who fought in the Korean War.
Finally, to finish off this episode, we will have a Q&A with the one and only Mr. Craig Sanders.
Starting from the end of World War II, the U.S. was in a constant state of rivalry with the USSR. These nations were the world's two superpowers, both with majorly conflicting political and economic systems.
At the end of World War II, the U.S. and USSR split Korea at the 38th parallel, each taking half of the country to enforce the Japanese surrender. Japan had controlled Korea during World War II, so the two superpowers were there to make sure everything went smoothly post-war.
This effectively created two new states: North Korea, a communist state under Kim Il-sung, modeled after the USSR, and South Korea, an anti-communist state under Syngman Rhee, modeled after the US.
This led to a lot of tension between the two states, each one wanting to take the entire peninsula for themselves. The emerging world powers were already beginning to compete for dominance and spread their ideologies across the countries. Korea was a possible stepping stone for American democracy spreading to mainland Asia, and a possible blockade of Russian communism.
On June 25, 1950, the North Korean army invaded South Korea, largely outnumbering the South Koreans and quickly occupying much of their territory.
President Truman saw this as one of the first major tests of the U.S. containment policy and convinced the U.N. Security Council to send in troops to stop North Korea from forcefully taking this land. Leading the U.S. troops was General Douglas MacArthur, leader of the Allied troops in the Philippines during the Second World War.
MacArthur felt the most successful tactical route would be a sea-to-land invasion behind North Korean lines at Incheon. While his risky plan faced a great deal of opposition and criticism, he went through with the invasion, which ended up being a major success. With the risky amphibious landing at Incheon, much reminiscent of D-Day, MacArthur was able to quickly take back land from the North Koreans, forcing them into a retreat while capturing over 100,000 North Korean soldiers.
However, as MacArthur advanced further into North Korea, Truman ordered him not to enter China, as he hoped to avoid a large-scale war with the now Red China.
Now, MacArthur was not very content with being under the command of the general public. After all, the president is a public servant. MacArthur preferred to do things in his own way, leading to a mistake that possibly cost the U.S. and South Korea a complete victory in the war. Much like the rest of the country under the Red Scare, the war-minded general wanted to completely snuff out any hopes of communism in the East, even through means of war.
So, MacArthur ignored Truman's order and provoked China into sending troops into the war, forcing the U.S. forces into a retreat and leading to a stalemate. This, along with MacArthur's criticism of Truman and his policies, led to Truman firing MacArthur, causing quite a bit of controversy in the U.S.
The war was pushed into a two-year stalemate, and the DMZ, Demilitarized Zone, which was essentially a no-man's land, was formed at the border between the two countries. Finally, an armistice was declared and fighting ceased. However, there has never been a treaty that officially ended this war, meaning some could argue that to this day the Korean War continues, especially as the DMZ still exists today.
So why the Forgotten War? Despite tragically claiming almost 150,000 U.S. lives and being an important conflict in the Cold War, its spotlight was stolen from other large events, such as the war in Vietnam and the space race, both which lasted longer than the bulk of the Korean War. Also, one must consider that many people did not even know where Korea was, much less why it was important.
This war is the embodiment of one word: containment. The U.S. policies to stop the spread of communism. America showed that it was so focused on this idea that it was willing to fight wars over it, and arguably go to even greater lengths until the collapse of the Soviet Union at the end of the Cold War. Korea may have been the first proxy war that America took part in, however, it would not be the last that attempted to contain communism. Now, let's take a deeper look into the lesser-known story of a barrier-breaking pilot in the Korean War.
The movie begins with Lieutenant Tom Hunter arriving at the Naval Air Station at Quonset Point, Rhode Island, in March of 1950, just before North Koreans crossed the 38th parallel. He was assigned to Fighter Squadron 32 and became the wingman of Ensign Jesse Brown, the first African-American fighter pilot in the Navy.
We get to see the relationships between the pilots grow as they work and train together. We also get to see the loving relationship between Brown and his wife and daughter. While Brown's squadron accepted and even welcomed his presence, we learned the racial tensions that followed the integration of the armed forces through confrontations with some Marines. The movie also does a good job of portraying the danger that their position holds through the death of one of Brown and Hunter's fellow pilots during a training exercise.
The pilots then were shipped off to Europe to bring confidence to their NATO allies. The squadron spends an eventful night in France, where they partied with Liz Taylor and got into a fight with the same Marines from before, sparked by the racial prejudices of the Marines. This led to tensions between Brown and Hunter, as Hunter struggled to understand how Brown had been dealing with the same injustices through his entire life. Hunter wanted to help Brown, but didn't understand how Brown, quote, wished people would stop helping me while looking down on me.
The next morning, the characters wake to learn the North Koreans had crossed the 38th parallel, and they were en route to Korea to push the North Koreans back. Their first mission? Destroy two bridges between China and North Korea to cut off their supply lines. One interesting thing to note here is how much the commanding officer stressed that the pilots could not even shoot a single bullet towards the Chinese side of the river to avoid the Third World War, even if the Chinese were shooting at them.
And shoot at them they did, firing their anti-aircraft weapons after the Fighting 32s bombed the first bridge. Lieutenant Hudner, the commanding officer of the mission, ordered the squadron to pull out as he felt they would not be able to survive the Chinese AA. However, Brown saw a chance to take out the second bridge and took it, disobeying Hudner's direct order, yet destroying the bridge.
Despite Brown's heroic and successful efforts, Hudner, being the goody-two-shoes that he is and not understanding the impact of what he was doing, included Brown's disobeying direct orders in the mission report. Although Hudner was doing as he was supposed to do, he failed to understand that blacks were not given the same leniencies as white people, and the slap on the wrist that this would have been to Hudner had the potential to be catastrophic to Brown.
Soon after, the squadron was sent directly into the fighting to provide air support for Marines who had been pinned down when the Chinese entered the war. Unfortunately, this resulted in damage to Brown's plane, causing him to crash land in North Korean forest. Hudner, following what had been asked of him by both Brown and his wife, which was to be there for Brown, purposefully crashed his own plane in an attempt to rescue Brown. Unfortunately, Hudner was unable to free the trapped pilot, and Ensign Jesse Brown died in action. They were never able to free Jesse's body and gave him a warrior's funeral while scuttling his ship. Brown was given multiple awards, including Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal, and the Purple Heart, and Hudner received the Medal of Honor.
Throughout this movie, Hudner and Brown's friendship is tested and forged by the hardships Brown faces while being the first African-American pilot in Navy history. Although this tragic death was mourned by those across the country, Jesse Brown paved the way for other blacks to be recognized as equals in the military, and even helped to initiate the civil rights debate that would heat up less than a decade later. This movie also provides an interesting new perspective on a war that we don't hear much about. Devotion shows us that the Korean War, important in the attempt to contain the attempted containment of communism, also held importance in the realm of racial equality.
Michael and TJ, your questions this week have to do with the Korean War. So let's start off with the actual battles of the Korean War. You talked a little bit about the important moves and decisions of Douglas MacArthur. Either one of you, why do you think that Douglas MacArthur risked bringing China into the Korean War by disobeying Harry Truman and advancing troops north of the Yalu River? And then following that, let's ask a question about the movie that you reviewed, Devotion. You mentioned, of course, the big part of the film is about the integration of troops, both black and white, who were serving in the Korean War. Can you give us a little more background on Truman's decision to integrate the armed forces shortly before the Korean War began?
MacArthur's main goal was to rapidly end the war and rid the area of communism. While MacArthur never sent troops directly into China, he was warned to only send South Korean troops north of the 38th parallel, as UN or US troops fighting in provinces bordering China could lead to China sending aid to North Korea. MacArthur disobeyed this, as he felt that the only way to reunify Korea and rid the peninsula of communism in a rapid manner would be to use the full force of the UN troops under his command. This was a catastrophic mistake, however, as Chinese troops entering the war led to Truman ordering a systematic retreat of UN forces out of North Korea. This angered MacArthur as he felt the Truman administration was thwarting his progress and leaving Korea out to dry. He felt very strongly that the U.S. should be doing all it could to remove communism from the entire peninsula, and called for the ability to bomb Chinese bases on the north side of the Chinese-Korea border. Even after he was denied this power and ordered to halt publicly speaking of foreign and military plans, he continued to call for this and insult Washington and the decisions it was making, leading to Truman relieving MacArthur from his duties.
Although President Truman had given the order to integrate the armed forces, this by no means meant that African Americans had equal opportunities or positions. As the film shows, much of the lower-level sailors, repairmen, and non-combat members were black, and although the carrier was technically integrated, it seemed they were grouped together and made separate from white sailors. Jesse Brown even told his experience of racism in the flight academy. For example, his swim test instructor made him take the test 10 times because he did not believe that a black man could swim. He purposefully made it harder by adding weights to his flight suit, holding him down, or adding ice to the water. Throughout his naval career, many people told him to stop, quit, and even die, which led him to questioning the motives of the LSO, who was in charge of directing Brown to a safe landing on the aircraft carrier. Through all of this, clearly blacks were not put into a position to succeed in the military, despite the president's executive order allowing for equal rights within it. The movie also did a great job of portraying how even though many were accepting of integration, few truly understood what it was like for military men like Brown to go about their daily lives. The Korean War was a major event within the Cold War that has been forgotten by many. By studying this conflict, we are able to see the struggle between the forces of communism and democracy as they fought to take control of this tiny peninsula.
Through this conflict, we are also able to understand how the modern-day conflicts and tensions between North and South Korea developed, and seeing why South Korea has become a core country versus the much more secretive and secluded North Korea.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of What I Learned in History Class This Week.
And we will see you next time.